Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, and I'm being joined today by my beautiful guest, Kelly Falardo, who I'll introduce more formally in just a moment. Hello, Kelly, and welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So for those listeners just dialing in, this show is designed to showcase amazing women, women who have been through some sort of tragedy or chaos and risen to confidence, risen from their tragedy through to triumph, and are now doing something really intriguing that the world needs to know about. And with my recent experiences over the past few months, I've been at a lot of events. I'm based here in Calgary at the foot of the beautiful Rocky Mountains in Canada. And I was invited to attend a screening back in February, which I'll actually let Kelly talk a little bit more about later on in the show. But it really touched me for a number of reasons. And so I was delighted that Kelly was able to join me. Kelly is a burn survivor, and she uses the word deliberately, survivor, not burn victim, and she can share more on that piece as well. Psychology of words, as you know from when I was writing my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, the difference in the energy behind just one word makes an incredible difference to how it's received, how you feel when you're delivering that message, and just the difference in words between victim and survivor is key. So at the age of 2, Kelly was severely burned over 75% of her body in a childhood home. Oh my gosh, my heart just sinks when I read that. And her life was obviously forever changed in that moment. And she went on to have numerous surgeries throughout her life. Even current surgeries as well. This is not stopped. It's not just a one and done thing, because the scars are so visible. And, you know, in her life growing up, which she'll share more about, it led to a life of being highly visible and bullied and avoided, because people didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to talk to her. So she's going to be sharing a beautiful story of discovering for herself that she can, in fact, have the most highly regarded inner strength, massive admiration for what Kelly's up to now, and believes that she has not been defined by what happened to her. She has, it's not by any event that happened to her, it's by how she managed through it. So, Kelly, do tell a little bit more about, you know, how this all got started. I mean, your memories, I've heard the story on your documentary, but some of the listeners don't know what happened. So could we start there? I know it's painful sometimes to think back to that time. Could we start there and explore a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got burned as a 2-year-old. So we lived on a farm. And my cousins were 9 and 11. And actually, they are from Calgary, my cousins. And so they came up to visit us. And my grandpa had asked them to burn the shingle from the old barn roof. And my mom, she was like only 21 at the time. She was pregnant with my sister. And my grandparents had to go off to a barbecue. And so my mom, you know, was making supper for me and my cousin. And after supper, you know, my cousins wanted to go and burn the shingles because, you know, Pop had told them to. And so they went outside and I wanted to go outside. And my mom, you know, because I wanted to hang out with my cousins, but my mom had this decision to make. And it was, you know, should I keep her inside and change her diaper because I was only 2, or do I let her go outside and play with her cousins? And so my mom decided to let me go outside. And it wasn't, I think it was like 5 or 10 minutes later, she could hear some yelling and screaming and crying. And she looked out the window only to see, you know, my neighbor driving down the driveway and me engulfed in flames. And
wow.
So my neighbor had grabbed me and they threw the bucket of water on me. And my mom grabbed me and wrapped a blanket around me and off we went to the hospital. And I spent 4 months in the hospital. Every 2 days, I'd be in the operating room. And then every 2 years until I was 20 years old, I'd have to go for more reconstructive surgery. And then lately, in the past 5 years, I've been going back for laser surgery to, you know, further enhance the mobility issues that I have. So, yeah, my whole life has been consumed with, you know, my scars. And like you said, you know, being stared at and teased and bullied and shunned. You know, a lot of people don't know how to take me. They don't know if I am the victim and, if I'm too shy to talk to, or if I'm, you know, upset or nasty or bitter about it, or, you know, am I playing the survivor role where I, you know, I see my tragedy as a gift instead of as a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, communication, even though we've moved into this digital age where so much of our communication is through texting and through Facebook and Messenger, and, you know, we were communicating on Messenger just the last few days. You know, still so much of it, once you're in front of somebody, our facial expressions say so much. And even just this last weekend, I was catching up on an Oprah show, and she was with Dr. Oz, and she was laughing about, you know, when she interviews people, she can tell right away who's had plastic surgery because certain parts of their face just don't move, and she doesn't necessarily know how to interpret those expressions because it's blank. And even in your case, you know, I know that you had, fairly recently in the last year, you know, been deciding, you know, should you go forward with an extra piece of surgery or not, which might actually change and remove some of the scars that you've now learned to love and embrace, and they're part of who you are and what makes you special and different and unique and powerful in your messaging.
Right. Very, very, very true. And Yvonne, I know you're talking about, like, in the documentary where I talk about whether I wanted to get my face done or not. And, you know, and then there's been other surgeries, for example, like my one ear is really deformed. And there was a time, probably about 15 years ago, when I was thinking about, okay, should I get a new ear made? And what they do is they, you know, would cut off the old ear. They put, you know, titanium screws into my head, and then that would have to heal. And then they'd make a mold of that, of my good ear, and then I'd have a matching ear. And then I thought to myself, okay, so why am I doing this? Am I doing it for me? Because I can't even see my ear. So why am I doing this? Or am I doing this so that when people look at me, they think I'm more normal looking or more beautiful looking? And when I got down to really discovering why I was going to do it or not do it, I decided not to, because the other thing was that new ear wasn't going to help me hear better. And if anything, I'd want a new ear just so that I can hear, right? Because, you know, my hearing is like, I'm deaf, about 65% of my hearing is gone. And so to me, that would be one reason that I'd want a new ear, is if I could hear better. But, you know, a lot of people do cosmetic surgery or Botox because they think it's going to make them more beautiful for somebody else. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for somebody else. And then that's why they don't feel good about it, right? Because a lot of times people will have cosmetic surgery done, and then they'll be like, okay, well, how come I don't feel better? What's going on? I should be more beautiful, or I should feel beautiful. But it's because they're doing it for somebody else. They're not doing it to please themselves.
Yeah, so true. And I've been also doing some work this year, thinking through, you know, when I wrote my book and it launched last year, it launched November 1st, and then November 2nd it hit bestseller, which was amazing.
Yay! Exciting!
Yay!
Good for you.
You know, what I realized as I got to the end and sort of my conclusions was, you know, yes, we can change, you know, the words on the outside. That's very very much how we communicate with other people and indicative of how we are feeling about ourselves. However, when we are feeling confident inside, the inner peace, which is what you're talking about too, we naturally use different language because we are more confident.
Right.
We're resonating. We're being more confident. And that was the reason I wrote the book, because I kept, you know, the last 10 years of coaching female clients, I kept getting the same question over and over again in my coaching work. How can I be more confident? How can I have more confidence? And so a lot of the work that we did together was around those topics. And when I listened to them talking, I could tell right away what their confidence level was, just because of how they phrased things. And the energetic resonance, did quite a bit of work over the past 5 years working on energetic resonance and that authentic energy. And that, too, has really showcased that I need to do more work. So the next book is being written, which is more oriented specifically for leaders. But it's also led me to some work this year to go back into organizations, because I have a strong HR background working at the senior level.
Right.
And see, you know, if organizations, if I'm helping women be more confident and then they're going back into organizations with that new confident air, but the organization is not ready for them, how is that going to work? So I'm now working on a women's cultural assessment tool to help see how organizations need to shift to really embrace having equality and diversity and strong women leaders. So interesting how this all knits together. So from your perspective, you know, as a child, if we stay there for a moment, you know, being bullied, being shunned, I mean, obviously, every single one of us is unique, right? Our DNA says so. However, in your case, it was so evident that there was something unique and different with your skin and the burns and stuff. So what could you share with people listening about how to stand up to bullies? I mean, were you able to do that then, or have you just learned more to do it recently?
Well, I think, you know, how I handled the bullies back when I was a teenager was definitely way different than how I would handle it now. Back then, because I had a lot of, I don't know if it was anger that I had, but, you know, I had a lot of emotional struggles back then. And so back then I would be like, you know, I'd be really rude back to people, and I'd make little snide comments. Well, you know, like when people would say, you know, something, I would just be like, well, I know you are, but what am I? I'd have little comments like that. Or the things that I would do is because a lot of times people will take second and third look. And so what I would do is turn around so they couldn't even get their second or third look. I'd avoid the situation. And but nowadays it's a total different thing. And I've realized that it's more of an inside game. So I've learned to actually tune out people staring at me. Because occasionally I still notice people will stare at me. But it doesn't bother me as much. And I've learned to protect myself from it.
Mm.
Whereas as a child, I didn't know how.
Yeah. So as part of that learning, and I know that now you do a lot of work with teenagers. So, how can teenagers in particular reframe that whole concept of being bullied and learn to stand up for themselves? What can you share with us?
Basically, I believe that the teenagers right now are tuning out on the whole bullying concept. I believe that they're really not interested in that conversation anymore. I think that they've tuned it out, there's nothing new, and it seems like nothing works. And so because I believe that the teenagers have tuned out on that, I believe the new conversation that teenagers want to have is all around labels. So teenagers are labeling themselves, and they're labeling others. So, for example, they're labeling themselves as a cutter, or as, you know, someone who suffers with mental illness, or I'm gay, or I'm transgender, or I'm queer, or I'm ugly, or I'm fat. And so what I do is I work with teenagers to help them shift those labels. So my label growing up was the ugly scar-faced girl. And that's what's really beautiful about my documentary, is that I share how I was able to shift from feeling ugly to feeling still beautiful, even though I was still covered in scars. And so I believe that's the whole new conversation that the teenagers want. They're excited about it. Like, I've been speaking to a number of different schools about it, and they're just loving it. they've tuned out on the bullying thing. So I believe if you make, if you take your teen and you make them into a strong, confident teen, they're not going to be bullied. And they're going to be able to stand up to the bullies no matter how. You know, like, they'll find a way, right? But they've got to be the ones that are empowered. And so some of the things that I teach them is that they need to quit worrying about what everybody's thinking of them. And so I have this thinking exercise that I do, and I prove to them that you can't know what somebody's thinking about. Because a lot of times what happens is you're down in the hallway and you look at somebody and all of a sudden you automatically think the negative, that they're thinking, oh, she hates me, or she's mad at me, or she thinks I'm ugly, or she thinks I'm stupid, or whatever. And we immediately go there. I mean, I did. Anytime anybody looked at me, I immediately went to, oh, they think I'm ugly. Because that was what I believed. I believed I was ugly. So I believed everybody thought I was ugly. And so I kind of and then the other thing that I teach teens is to quit comparing themselves to other people. So a lot of times we might see somebody and we think that they're really beautiful, and really that beautiful person probably doesn't think they are. Most people don't think they're beautiful. And so we're comparing ourselves to someone and thinking, oh my God, they're so beautiful. And yet that person, if you ask them, if, you know, if they have anything wrong with them, they'll pick out at least 10 things wrong with them. Every single person can pick out things that are wrong with them. Nobody can say that they're perfect in every single way. And so I help teens to realize that we all have issues, right? We all have something that makes us different. And then what I do is I also shift them into then realizing how beautiful they are and start to love their little parts. Because that's the problem. A lot of times we go and we look in the mirror, and the first thing we do is we go, yuck, who's going to love that? And then we pick out everything that's wrong with us. And we say, oh my God, I've got one eyeball that's bigger than the other. I've got, you know, I've got frown lines. I've got, you know, pimples. I've got freckles. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. And that's what the teenagers are saying when they look in the mirror. And so what I do is I share a story about how I went to a garage sale, and this lady says to me, they couldn't do better than that. And what she meant was, how come they couldn't do some sort of medical surgery on you, take all your scars away, and then you'd be beautiful? But she didn't realize about everything that I had done in order to get, you know, to where I am. So right. I was really, really quite upset with her, and I said to her, you know what, I happen to think I look pretty damn good. And I walked away. I didn't even give her a chance to say anything else. I was so upset. And then I got thinking, why am I letting a complete stranger take my power away? I'll never see her again. So why am I letting this comment affect me? Like, not once have my kids or my family or friends ever said, Mom or Kel, I would love you more if you were Scarlet. And so that was my turning point. And that was the day that I decided, that's it, I'm going to love who I am. And I remember going in the mirror, and instead of saying, I am beautiful, because that's what we tell ourselves, that we have to go in the mirror and say all these affirmations, and if we do, then eventually we'll believe them. And that's not true, because if you don't believe you're beautiful, your brain is not going to believe it, and your ego is going to tell you that you're full of shit. And that's the truth, though, right? Like, if you go in the mirror and you say, I'm a millionaire, and you're not, your brain goes, yeah, right, no, you're not. And every single time you do that, it'll say that.
Yeah. I'm laughing with you because this is one of the things I wrote about in my book is, you know, the power of shifting that phrase instead of just leaving it as I am XYZ. I am in the process of becoming XYZ.
Right.
And that way your brain doesn't instantly kick it out and say, no, you're not, you know, who are you trying to kid?
Stop
because
it.
You're in the process of. So I don't know if you use something similar in your sessions too.
Well, what I did in that whole situation is I went into the mirror, and instead of saying, I am beautiful, because every time I would say, I am beautiful, my ego would say, no, you're not. You don't look like Angelina Jolie, and you're covered in scars. How can you be beautiful? There's no such thing as a beautiful scar. That's woman, right? That was my ego. So I went in the mirror this time and I said, I love my big, beautiful green eyes. Everybody tells me how beautiful my eyes are, and I love them. And that ego didn't say anything because it's true. I believe it. And then I looked at my nose, and I said, you know what? I happen to love my cute little nose. And again, I didn't hear that voice. And then I looked at my ear, my little deformed one, and I said, you know what? I happen to love my cute little ear. It makes me different. It makes me special. It makes me unique. I love it. And how many people have a little ear like mine? And again, that ego didn't say nothing. And then I had my favorite jeans on, and I turned around. I looked at my butt, and I said, you know what? I happen to love my cute little hot ass. And I know every time I say that, people just laugh, but you know what? I wasn't bragging about myself. I was learning to embrace who I am. And so the next time I went into the mirror, I didn't say yuck. I started to see all the things I loved about me. And that was how I learned to love who I am.
Oh, this is such a wonderful story. Okay, we're just going to go to a short interlude for a minute while I grab my tissues here. And we will be right back. Wow, so I'm here with the beautiful Kelly Falardo, and I say that genuinely because Kelly has such a beautiful soul and is doing such amazing work in the world, helping others to recognize the power of being beautiful from the inside out. And she's been sharing a beautiful story of discovering for herself that she wanted and needed to be loved herself, and she became who she is now and owned who she was, not defined by what happened to her or not by any event that happened to her, but by doing the work, the inner work that is so important to us showing up whole and authentic. Now, along the way, Kelly, I know that you did end up meeting someone special. You fell in love. You had three beautiful children, and that was, what, 24 years ago now?
Well, no, we were together for 24 years, and then then we got a divorce. So, and I've been divorced now for, I think, 9 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a portion of time where on top of all of those, you know, recurring surgeries and, you know, figuring out who you were and how you wanted to show up in the world, you were a single mom as well.
I am. I'm a single mom right now, and, so that's a whole nother, you know, aspect to my story is, you know, deciding that I wanted to truly love myself, not just, you know, my outside, but it was also about being true to myself. Because so many times what happens is women get stuck, you know, being in, you know, loveless marriages or toxic jobs and, you know, dead-end jobs that they hate. And I remember looking in the mirror and realizing that I had been lying to myself. And I was telling two lies to myself. One was that I wanted to be married and that I was in love with my husband. And the second lie was that I loved my job. I actually hated my job. And I actually did not like the man that I was, you know, with for 24 years. But I believe, too, that once you get married, you're supposed to stay married. And especially when you have kids, because I have three kids, I thought, how dare I want to be happy and make my kids unhappy by going through a divorce.
That's a whole different conversation for sure. I mean, you know, definitely your strength coming from within, you know, is where you've done the work, you've gone through a lot of soul searching, knowing who you are, and, you know, coming out the other side of that and deciding, no, I not only am feeling strong enough to now do this, but I'm going to do this by myself. And you've also been taking on other projects too. You talked about
you've shared with me a couple of your beautiful prints, and I have them up in my meditation room. So you started trying painting, and then you started doing blankets for burn survivors. So just share a little bit about that for those who don't know about that.
Well, sure. You know, like over these last, you know, 10, 15 years, I really realized that we have that little voice. And that little voice tells us to do things. And it's up to us if we want to do it or not. And I know now what that voice is. And that is, you know, my intuition, it's my God, it's my higher power, my universe that is leading me down the path. And so I think it's actually like 4 years now since I became a painter. But what happened is my best friend, Carrie Cohan, is a psychic. And so we were together on family day, and we were really both upset because neither one of us had our kids. And so I was telling her how, you know, life was good. I was doing lots of speaking, and, you know, I had written, I don't know how many books, I think 4 books by then. But I felt like something was missing. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that, you know, there had to be something else out there for me. And I didn't know what it was. And she said to me, you know, Cal, I see you painting. I see you painting in a big way, making thousands of dollars, and, you know, you're just going to do amazing at it. And I'm like, I think you're full of shit. There's no way that I'm a painter. Like, I know I'm crafty, but I'm not a painter. I've never painted in my life. And she's like, no, you need to get out and paint. Let's go to paint night. And I said, no, let's drink wine in your hot tub. And I won this battle. I don't usually win the battles with her, but I did that time. And anyway, so then the next day, I went home, and I saw this painting on Facebook. And I said to my friend who did the painting, I said, oh, my God, how did you learn how to do that? And she gave me the name of the artist he learned from. And I was, so I Googled her, and I watched some of her videos and everything. And then I went to have a nap because it was like 3 o'clock, and that's normal nap time for me at that, you know, at that time of my life. Because I was really bored. And then I heard this little voice. Oh, no, I said to myself, what does my heart say? And I heard the little voice say to me, go paint. And I said, nah, what does my heart say? And it said, get up and go paint. So I was like, okay, fine. I got up. And what had happened is a year earlier, I had won this massive paint kit. It had like 4 canvases. It had the easel, the paint. It had, like, everything. And I thought, okay, so I grabbed it and I started painting and I used up all the canvases and then I put them on Facebook and all of a sudden, in like 1 week, I made like $1,000. And it was crazy because this woman says to me, she said, I want to buy your painting. And I was like, okay. And she said, well, how much? And I said, I don't know. I've only been painting one day. And she's like, okay, well, I said, well, how much do you offer? And she goes, well, I'll pay you $150. And I was like, okay, sold. So, yeah, I made like $1,000 in 1 week off my paintings. So I phoned up my friend Carrie, and I said, okay, Carrie, damn you woman. She goes, what's wrong? And I said, I'm painting. And she thought I was painting my house. And she goes, well, why are you painting your house? You got a new house. And I'm like, go look on Facebook. And she was like, oh, my God. And she says, I'm coming to your house, and you're teaching me what to do. And so she showed up at my house with a big case of painting, and she didn't leave for 3 days. And oh, my God. So that was the start of me becoming a painter. And it was so incredible because, like, my sons would come home from school, and they would say, Mom, you're so awesome. You got to keep painting. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll keep painting. And So it was just a really cool story. But then what happened is I found a way to get my painting put onto a blanket. And it's a beautiful painting. I just absolutely love this painting. And then I put the words on it, you are loved, you are needed, you are wanted. And then it was just like, a message that, you know, I would say to myself, you are loved, you are needed, you are wanted. A lot of times we don't hear it. And we need something to remind us that we are loved, needed, and wanted. And so, anyway, so yeah, I had it put on a blanket. And then I actually ordered like 1,500 of them from China because then I got a better deal. And then I would sell the blankets. And people could either buy them for themselves or they can buy them and sponsor them for a child. and then we give them away at the children's burn camp, or people can buy them and give them away to their whatever camp they want to give them to.
Yeah, so. I did that. I did one of those a while ago.
You did?
I loved
it. Thank
you. Yeah. So I have your paintings, prints of your paintings, two of those, beautiful, with hearts. And I think one of them has What Does Your Heart Want on it.
Yep.
A blanket. And then when I was at your film screening, I also have a T-shirt I have to pick up still. So still beautiful T-shirt. So you are just a dynamo now. You're out there rocking it. So I am. I'm just thrilled to see, you know, how this has all come together. And really, you know, when you listen to that inner voice, your inner guidance, your intuition, what magical things happen. As you say, you know, you didn't think that you were necessarily a painter. And yet, you know, what a beautiful way to showcase to the world that it's not just about who you are on the outside. It's about what you can bring forth when you're showing up in your energy of authenticity with your gifts, whatever those may be. And
absolutely.
Certainly, you know, certainly working with burn victims, I'm sure that that is hugely, hugely rewarding. What's coming up with the burn victim pieces? Or not, let's not call them victims. Let's call them survivors. Let's stick with that.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people will, you know, they'll tell me about their burn survivor story, or they'll put me in touch with burn survivors. And so, you know, definitely I love helping burn survivors. They're definitely near and dear to my heart. You know, especially when we have all these fires and stuff, that the big question I have is, you know, like, is there any casualties? But is anybody getting burnt? Like, let's just hope that that's not happening, right? Like, you can burn a house down, but let's not, you know, we don't want any more burn survivors in this world. And so it's basically just that I want to get my documentary out there in a bigger way and help people to change their label and, you know, quit seeing themselves as victims and start seeing themselves as survivors, and then go live the life you want to live, because you never know where your life is going to take you. Like, even when I decided to be a speaker 10 years ago, I had no idea that I would have a documentary about my life story. I had no idea that that's where that would lead me. And so, you know, so many people want to be happy, but they don't really want to go on the journey to get happy. And, you know, they just want to, you know, be able to snap their fingers and say, okay, I'm happy now. But when I look back at my life, even in, you know, since the time I left my husband to now, and I think about all the things I've done, and it's like, wow, right? Like, I've been to Africa twice, you know, once I got to bring my daughter with me when she was 14. And, you know, I mean, I've been to London a couple of times, and, you know, I got to speak to 3,000 teenagers, you know, for my documentary. And you know, now Goldcast did that video about my life story, and, you know, it's got like 8.3 million views. And, you know,
woo!
I never thought that my story really had any value back when I was first going through my divorce. I had no idea that my story would have any kind of value. And
wow.
It's so true. Like, do you know Charmaine Hammond?
I do know the lovely Charmaine, yes. And
I know, she's just a beautiful woman. So she's responsible for me becoming who I am. Because I met her 10 years ago at another woman's event. And she says to me, Kel, you need to sell that business you have and go be a speaker. And I was like, why? I'm a burn survivor, so what? And she's like, no, seriously, Kel, people will be so inspired by your story. Now, at that time, I was not happy with my marriage. I was, like, you know, starting to contemplate, did I still want to be married or not? I had this business that was just a big money pit. It was costing us more money than it needed, than we had. And, you know, he wasn't working, and he told me to step up to the plate and go get a job, and so I did. And so I was, like, in a really rough spot at that time. And so I didn't see my life as being valuable at all.
Hmm. Well, so, no, you did. So. I mean, you have, on this journey, I mean, you found your own personalized way to go from near death, pretty much, to success. From the ugly Scarface girl, as you so lovingly call yourself, to the top, to the, you know, top 10 most powerful and influential speakers. You've received a Fierce Woman of the Year recognition, best-selling author 4 times, the recipient of the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal, and most recently a YWCA Women of Distinction Award in 2013 as well. I mean, look at all the acknowledgement that the world is giving back to say, you are beautiful and you are valued, and your story is one that has incredible strength when you're sharing it. And Charmaine, the beautiful Charmaine, who, yeah, I mean, Raise a Dream is such an app. Her company is such a, you know, such an app name, right? You know, so grateful that she saw that spark inside. And when you're standing on stage, I mean, you really do have to have that inner work done and to be confident, to be standing there in your authentic power. So tell me a little bit about your journey to becoming a speaker. I mean, you shared about becoming a painter. I'm sure there's lots of people listening who would love to be a speaker too.
Well, being a speaker, well, basically it was Charmaine. So Charmaine was the one that said, you need to be a speaker. And her and I went for lunch, and then she lined up an event for me to speak at with Joe Dibley. And so what did is we did an Ellen show. And so Charmaine was Ellen and I was the guest. And then, you know, she did the little dance, you know, and called me up, and then she'd ask the questions and I'd tell the story. And then I went home that night and I said to my husband, because I was still married at that time, and I said, I'm going to be a speaker. And he said, how are you going to do that? And I said, I don't know, but it's going to happen. And so that night, yeah, I know. And he proceeded to tell me that night, like, who are you? Who is going to listen to you? What kind of story do you have? You're not successful. You're not rich. You know, like, you're basically, you know, a nobody. Nobody knows who you are. And speakers don't make any money. So I don't get it. Like, what makes you think you're going to be a speaker? And so I just said to him, I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. And so the very next day, I went back to that conference that Charmaine and I were speaking at, and there was a lady in there called Cheryl Crown. And Cheryl did this speech. And at her speech, at the end of it, she was promoting a workshop on how to be a keynote speaker. And I was like, oh my gosh, the universe is making this happen. Mm-hmm. The universe wants me to be a speaker. But it was like thousands of dollars to take this course. And I was like, well, I can't afford that. And she said to me, well, that's okay, Kel, I'll take payment. And I was like, oh, shit. And then she goes, but you have to come to Vancouver. And I'm like, well, I can't go to Vancouver. I've got the twins at home and with my husband. Like, he's not going to want me to go to Vancouver. Like, now I got to explain why I need thousands of dollars for the course and plus more money for travel and food and hotel. I can't do it. And she goes, well, if you get 10 people here in Edmonton, I'll come here and do it. And I'm like, well, I don't know 10 speakers. I don't know 10 people who want to be speakers. Like, I can't do that. And she's like, well, okay, just think about it. So at the end of the day, someone stood up and said, hey, Cheryl said if we can get 10 people that want to take her course, she'll do it here in Edmonton. We have 9 people. Who wants to be the 10th? And I was like, oh, every single obstacle that I came up with was overcome within a matter of an hour. And so I said, okay, I guess I'm the 10th person. And out of the 10 of us, there was only 2 of us who actually became professional speakers of taking that course. And so I just believe that the universe wanted me to be a speaker. And in fact, when I was a teenager, probably about 13 or 14 years old, we were in 4-H. And we had to do a public speaking competition. And I practiced and practiced and practiced. And I actually won the competition. My very first speech ever. So I honestly believe that the universe was trying to get me to be a speaker way back when I was 14 years old. And I just didn't know it. Yeah.
It's so lovely hearing you sharing this, because I had a somewhat similar experience a couple of years ago where I said, you know, I've been doing this work individually. I want to start, you know, sharing my work with more women, and I want to do more speaking. And all of a sudden, it was like the universe just said, yes, finally she woke up, whoosh. And there was 18 speaking gigs that popped up in one, 18? You know, in yeah. I mean, some of them were things that I had initiated and reached out to So, for example, with Women Talk, I had put my application in, and then four different venues all wanted me to come talk. So, you know, some of those were paid, some were unpaid, but it was amazing how quickly it showed up.
And, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw that on your website. I saw that on your website that you've got some speaking topics, and I'm like, awesome, she's speaking, great. I want to come hear her.
Well, since you posed that, thank you. The next event I'm actually speaking at is 2 days from now, so Thursday. I'm speaking at Winsport at the Lead with Purpose Conference, which mm-hmm. is in recognition of 100% of the net proceeds are going to the Nest Foundation, which I'm on the board for. And the Nest Foundation is helping women rebuild their lives after trauma, because there's a lot of women's shelters and services that offer mm-hmm. immediate help when women are going through trauma.
Right.
But from 2 to 10 years, there's virtually nothing out there that is really there to support women rebuild their life by themselves, or, you know, with them and their kids. So that's what the mentorship, making memories, support financially, there's a variety of programs that we're ready to implement. Some have already been implemented. So that will come after the conference. So that's on Thursday at Winsport. Go look at my Facebook page. It's called Lead with Purpose. If you haven't already signed up for it, it's a 2-for-1 pricing right now, and the code's in my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. After that, though, I do have my own event on July 25th coming up, and that one is the How Bold Women Leaders Foster Innovation Power for Business Sustainability. So it's an episode that I'm doing a morning at the Calgary Petroleum Club. I have CEO Sandeep Lali from the Chamber of Commerce coming to speak as well. And that's going to be my own event. I've done it last month, and now I'm repeating it for July 25th in the morning. Details on my website for that. And I'm speaking in between at Fearless Women on June 22nd in Edmonton, too. So I'm coming up there.
Yay, that's exciting. Yeah, well, and I get on an airplane tomorrow morning. I'm heading to Dallas because I'm doing my second TEDx talk in Dallas. So
awesome.
Pardon?
Second one. Yay.
Yeah, my second one. Yeah, I did one in Edmonton, and it's called Ugly is Still Beautiful. And then this one is Finding Your Inner Reflection. So that's what my second talk is going to be about. So I'm really excited about doing, you know, another TEDx talk. So it's going to be cool.
Awesome. So I will have to look up the first one. And certainly when the second one goes live, please let me know. I'm happy to put that out on Facebook and to my community as well. So,
yay!
Yay, so I know that you had indicated before that you might be available for about 45 minutes. So do I have a few more minutes of your time?
We got 3 more minutes.
3 minutes, okay. So there's been a number of people that have been listening who I'm sure are wondering what's next. So certainly TEDx is next. And I always like to invite my guests if they have something they wanted to share with the audience in particular. And I think you mentioned something about a book, right? Or
yeah.
A couple of things. Yeah.
So what's next is just basically that we want to get my Still Beautiful documentary around the world. So it's aired in Canada quite a few times, all across Canada. AMI, our broadcaster, is just incredible. So they've aired it, and so that's awesome. But now we want to get it outside of Canada. We want to get it into the U.S. and, you know, everywhere around the world is where we want to go with it, and just really share that message about being still beautiful. And so that's one of the things that I'm doing. The second thing that I do is I actually coach people on how to get started as speakers and authors. And so this summer I decided that, you know, I used to do most of my writing in the summer because that's when I'm really quite slow. And so in the summer, I thought, you know, why don't I do like an 8-week writing program so people can take their book from concept to actually completion and have it ready to launch in the fall. So that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm looking for people who want to be coached to do their book. And so, yeah, and also I have a free book for all your listeners. So this free book is called The 7 Ways to Embrace the Real You. So if you go to my website, which is kellyfilardo.com, you can find a copy of that. You can sign up and you'll get the PDF version of that book, along with the information is there about my 8-week program and coaching and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Awesome. So seven ways to, what was the title again?
7 ways to embrace the real you.
Embrace the real you. Awesome. Well, I am delighted that you were able to join me, and I'm so happy that you're also generously giving away some options. So the free book, Still Beautiful documentary is to watch, the 8-week writing program, and it's Kelly Falardo, KellyFalardeau.com, which is where all of those goodies reside. So, Kelly, thank you so much.
I'm going to continue to wrap up
the show. I'm going to actually talk a little bit about my book as well. So I know that you have to dash off, but it's been a delight learning more about you, hearing more about your story, and I'm just so honored that you've turned your tragedy into a real triumph. And congrats on the documentary. Congrats on the TEDx talks as well. Some amazing work.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too, and thank you for thinking of me, and you have a great day.
Okay, Kelly, take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And we'll carry on with the show. Bye for now. Wow. Wow. Every now and then I have speakers who I'm drawn to invite to the show who have an incredible story to share. And if you haven't seen Kelly's documentary, Still Beautiful, quite a bit of the documentary is just so moving, because, you know, it really gives a lot more detail than we've covered, you know, obviously in our interview today, to her life story and how she's been able to turn things around. And the work that she's doing with teenagers, with groups, with burn survivors, and now sharing, you know, with her documentary and her TEDx talks, sharing her message globally is super powerful. So delighted she could join me today. So Kelly had talked about giving away her free book, 7 Ways to Embrace Yourself. Amazing that she's kindly gifted that. And I think for the last few minutes, I actually just want to run the introductory video that, actually it's a recording of the introductory video for the book that I wrote. I was referencing Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, which was launched on November 1st, hit bestseller, woohoo, November 2nd. And if you're not familiar with that, I'll play that in just a moment. And also just make a note, if you haven't already been aware of where information is on what I'm up to as well in my speaking career, et cetera, wordswomenandwisdom.com is my website. There's information on there also about the July 25th event I have coming up, which is How Bold Women Leaders Foster Innovation Power for Business Sustainability. So it's really intended for women entrepreneurs, leaders, and corporate leaders, HR professionals perhaps as well, organizations who want to have more equality and are focusing on bringing together mechanisms and practices and processes that really foster having strong, bold women leaders in their organization. And I can talk about why that makes sense at the bottom line as well. And Sandeep will be talking about the economic impact as well. So that's July 25th at the Calgary Petroleum Club. The link is on my website for how to book your seat at that. And let's just run the last little video clip and hear a little bit more about, you know, what is Words, Women, and Wisdom? How did it get started? What's this book and why is it a bestseller?
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
So as you recognize now, just one word can change your life. And in Kelly's case, changing one word in her head from victim to survivor has made an incredible difference. I was blessed that she was able to join me today. And again, if you're looking for more information about Kelly, or you wanted to organize a film screening, if you're listening to this outside of Canada, hop on to kellyfalardeau.com, KellyFalardeau.com, and connect with Kelly directly. Download a free copy of that book that she's referencing. Check out the 8-week writing program. And certainly I would love to stay connected with you. Next time, if you do have the opportunity or want some one-on-one coaching, if we have time, we can do that. I'll put the dial-in numbers in the advertising for the event. So thank you for your time today, and I hope you enjoyed the show with Kelly and I, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, and we'll be back live again in 2 weeks. Advertising will be showing the date. Talk to you soon.